Hello and welcome back to the channel. Thank you for joining me for another of our wonderful interviews with Stan McDonald today. And we are going to prove, apparently, that Canada legally does not exist. So all the way from Canada, but in the UK, is Stan. Hello, Stan.
Hello, Richard. It's good to be here.
It's good to be. We did actually record this once before, and I cocked it up by not recording the audio. And I'm happy to admit that. And you have been very gracious, if I may say so, coming back to do it all over again.
No worries. This time we'll get it right, eh?
Yeah, we'll get it right. We will this time definitively prove that Canada no longer exists or never existed legally. So we have a whole load of slides which we're going to present, if I can remember how to do it. And I think this is the... Here we go. That is slide number one.
Yes. This all came because I had to delve into the law, and as many people realize, that the legal system doesn't technically work right.
Right.
And even though you may be right and everything else, a lot of times they'll tell you your paperwork is frivolous or some free man on the land or, you know, opto-pseudo-litigant or some other garbage. And as I've always said, go back to the basic fundamental documents that created the law and created the government. And we dealt with a seminar before that dealt with primary legislation. And I said, for the most things under the British realm, it works. But what you're about to discover today is that the British realm does not govern Canada. And that's where the problem becomes. Otherwise, we could go back to the UK law.
Right.
So rather than have the dispute about, you know, property standards or traffic tickets or whatever they're going to come after you for in Canada, this, if they follow the rules, will shut down the whole system.
And I know, because we went through it, so I've got a smattering of how dramatic this is, because we looked at this, and it is quite an amazing piece of work that you have put together here. So shall we get cracking?
Yes, we shall.
So you're going to call out to tell me when to change the slides, and dutifully I will get my little slide projector out, and hopefully we don't come out inside out, upside down, as they used to do in the old days when I used to do the family slides. So here we go. Mythbusters Canada.
Yes, as many of you guys may know by now, I have a Telegram group called Deny Truth, and so everything I do, I kind of post through that system. And we have council tax issues up there. We have health issues. We have DVLA was added this morning. And, you know, I try to get as much info out as I can. And the reason being is we've all been under the, you know, the crunch of the hammer, if you will, of the government. And so with Richard's help and with my efforts, we hope to enlighten the people and help the people somewhat, because unfortunately, back when I learned this crap, there was nobody helping me. There was no YouTube and all these videos. But I always thought, well, after you learn this stuff, what are you going to do with it? Yeah. So let's do something productive and try and help the people.
Absolutely.
So if we go to the first slide or the next slide. In 1670, King Charles of England formed a charter for a company called Hudson's, eventually was called the Hudson's Bay Company. And that company still exists today, although it's not what it used to be. But at that time, the charter, which didn't expire, comprised of approximately 40% of what is now the Canadian landmass. And at the time, the western part of Canada was not part of this. But this Hudson's Bay Company had a charter from the Queen, went over to Canada. At that time, it wasn't called Canada. And started a fur trade business, and they had their own laws, their own system, their own set of enforcement, their own government, their own everything. So at that time it was it included much of what is currently the state of Minnesota and North Dakota, and you know, certain other little areas of Canada, part of Ontario, and that was about it. So if we go to the next slide, Richard, this was actually called Rupert's Land. Okay, and it was, like I said, it controlled 100% of all the resources of the landmass, the fur trade, minerals, the waterways, and everything else. It was a total monopoly they had, and they could make their own laws, enforce them, and all the members of HBC, which is Hudson's Bay Company, had to take an oath back to the king and or queen at that time, as they still do today. The key solution was what they did back then was they had a system which we're trying to assert called common law. Okay, and there anything that was repugnant to common law was not supposed to be done. And the kings and queens swore an oath on the 1611 King James Bible. Now, anybody that's gone into a Canadian court system, they'll usually ask you to affirm or swear an oath to the King James Bible. So when you walk into a courtroom in Canada, technically, when they're talking about Canada, they're not really talking about what we would call the general landmass of Canada. What they're really talking about is this charter. So it gets a little bit haywire, but that's what it comes down to. If we can go to the next slide, Richard. Okay, back in that day, 1860s, the monarch back then in England said to themselves, this HBC company is having all the country where they can do whatever the heck they want, make as much money as they want, and they just give us back some kind of token, you know, some small gift or whatever. And so King Charles was never able to get out of this contract because he signed it and he took an oath on the King James 11 Bible. Now, if you remember from some of my other presentations, it always says, you know, the act has been acted by, you know, whatever they want to call it. But it says the Lord Spiritual, Temporal, and Commons. Well, spiritual is actually going back to this King James Bible. Okay. Right. And once you swear an oath to something, even if the king or queen or a legal person swears an oath to do something, if they swear it on the Bible, if they commit, if you want to call it treason or fraud against the Bible, they're not allowed to do that. And so even to this day, if you deal with the legal system, anybody that's in the legal system swears an oath back to the crown. And that even happens in Canada.
Right.
So that's where we're getting our authority from here, because as I said in the presentation we did regarding primary legislation, right? It all goes back to the monarch and the unalienable rights of the people, the subjects.
Hmm.
Well, that was all fine and good in Canada, and this happened, you know, way back when. So it's an established law, established fact, but they dissolved it, and this is what we're going to uncover today, which right. is going to basically dissolve the entire Canadian legal system. So if we go to the next slide, Richard. Okay, in 1866, the Queen Victoria at that time, she wanted to get this charter back because why should this HBC company have all of the profits and proceeds and everything else? So she joined a couple of provinces, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, with Upper Canada and Lower Canada, which at that time was part of Quebec and part of Ontario. And she added a railroad which connected them, which formed what they then called the Dominion of Canada. But the act itself was called the British North American Act. And this act was some people refer to it as the B&A Act. So it's the foundational government creation of Canada back at that time, because prior to that, it was all HBC, Hudson's Bay Company.
Hmm.
So when the Queen was talking about Canada prior to this 1866, she was actually just talking about Hudson's Bay Company.
Gosh.
And what we're going to find out today is that's really what she's still talking about. So if we bring up the next slide, Richard. Okay, the British North American Act received royal assent on the 29th of March, 1867, and went into effect on the 1st of July, 1867. And as it says here, the Act united three separate territories of Canada, Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, into a single dominion called Canada. And the provision was made for other colonies and territories of British North America, and that means the other provinces, to negotiate their way into this union. The Act divided the province of Canada into Quebec and Ontario, and the new federal government parliament was established in Ottawa, together with the provincial government legislatures. Okay, this act basically started to build Canada, but all the provinces didn't all sign on at the same time. Okay, I think Alberta was the last one to sign on in 1947 or somewhere in that area. So Canada's not 150 years old, as they tell you, or whatever they're claiming.
Right.
So this was all fine and good, but the Queen dissolved the British North American Act, as we're going to show you a little later, and they came up with this Canadian Constitution. Because what happened in the 1930s, which I didn't show here, they had the Act of Westminster, and basically it was starting to separate the various colonies, Canada being one of them, from the British monarch. And so they became more sovereign. Now, it took some time to happen, okay? But it did eventually did happen. So Canada, when they separated in 1932, it didn't just overnight. It was phased in. And that was all fine and good. But anyway, the Canadian Constitution didn't really exist, okay? And we were no longer under the UK or the British Parliament rule. Although she did have a position, right? Things were still supposed to receive royal assent because we don't have a constitution at this point. So what they did was they sent over a representative. We'll get into that a little bit later. So if we go to the next slide, Richard. Okay. Now, this British North American Act, there's a little map here, and it shows you what really is part of the, you know, now forming Canada. Okay.
Of 1867 at that time.
Right. And if you can't hardly read this, but this is where the provinces of Canada, Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, expressed their desire to unite under one dominion. That's telling you right there that this is not all of what we now know to be Canada, right? It's right. Limited to those sections. So if we go to the next slide, Richard. Okay, this is actually an excerpt of it, and it says here, an act in the United Canada, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and the government thereof. So I just basically blew this up and gave you another piece of proof that Canada is not Alberta and Saskatchewan and Manitoba and British Columbia and, you know, other areas.
Okay, so that'd be a bit of a shock to some people who think that they live in Canada.
Well, actually, yeah. So if we go to the next slide, okay, this they had a problem because the Queen didn't want Hudson's Bay Company back then having all of this wealth to themselves, because I mean Canada's natural resources, especially back then, were, you know, quite large and fairly unlimited. So what Queen Victoria did is she demanded Hudson's Bay sell the charter back to the Queen. By making a country called British North America, the Queen forced HBC to sell back their charter for £12 million. So at this point, when the Queen refers to Canada, she's still referring to Hudson's Bay Company, right? Because this isn't, you know, this is the way it is. It never really happened. So Canada is still at that point, and even back in the 1930s, did not have a constitution. And this was called the Rupert Lands Act, 1868. And I give you the proper reference, and you can pull it up if you want. But again, we still don't have technically Canada as the landmass. So if we go to the next slide, Richard. Then what happens is they have, different things that happened in the government, and nobody knows where all the laws change. So what they did was they came out with the Statute Law Revisions Act. And the UK government has the same thing. And so anytime a statute, which is a set of guidelines, it's a regulation, are modified, they put the modification in the Statute Law Revision Act. And it's updated from time to time. I think there's one in the 60s, and I think there was one in 47, and then there's a more current one. So that tells you where different things have been changed. So if we go to the next slide, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What does all this mean? It means that an act... There is no act in Parliament and no constitution, no de jure laws at this point. Queen Elizabeth does not sign into laws anything into the British, as far as the British side goes, into Canada. Okay? There's a Lieutenant Governor General who represents the Queen, because remember I said they sent over a representative.
Mm.
But she is on record as saying she doesn't sign anything into law either. So if the Queen doesn't give it royal assent, right, because she's got nothing to do with the government of Canada now, and the representative doesn't sign it into law, then it is not law.
Right.
It's that simple, right? This office was created in 1871 and has served the crown ever since. But what does this really technically mean? It means technically there is no legal system, there is no courts, there is no income tax. Anything that has some sort of connection to the Queen is null and void. And that's going to be hard for some people to believe. Like, wait a minute, you're telling me we have no constitution? That's right. You have no constitution, and you have no allegiance to the Queen. So any court case that says R versus somebody, R beating Regina, meaning the Queen, or the Crown, right? It's all an illusion. It doesn't exist. And if you go to the in the courtroom, any courtroom in Canada, there's usually a big, huge thing at the front of the courtroom, or in front of the building, or attached to the building, and it's the crown. It's the monarch seal, right? So technically, the crown and the court systems all represent the Queen, but the Queen has no jurisdiction in Canada.
So it's a fraud.
It's all fraud. So all these people that are falsely in prison for not paying income tax or some other bogus crime, yeah, it's all fraud. Wow. And if there's fraud, okay, if we go back to our Maxim's presentation we did,
yeah,
I told you guys and I showed you that if there is a fraud in the court has an obligation to fix it. Now, whether or not they're going to do that, that's another story.
Okay.
So if we go to the next slide, Richard. Okay. They had this thing called the Beaufort Report in 1926, right? And it's Canada's evolution to become fully governed nation. So 1926 is a long time ago.
Hmm.
Chances are anybody that was around then is no longer with us in above ground capacity, if we want to call that. The report declared that Britain and its own dominions were constitutionally equal. Okay, so that's why we still needed that representative. The findings of this report were made into law by British Parliament in 1931 with the Statute of Westminster, as I was saying earlier. So what this did was it created the Commonwealth of Canada, and it still remained linked to Britain politically. But legal power shifted decisively into Canada Parliament and the Prime Minister's office. This shift quickly led to an independent Canada, and now we have a foreign policy with the crown, if you want to call it that, or with the queen, okay? And it has diplomatic services. It took several decades before Canada assumed all the powers under the statute because not everybody wanted to accept it right off the hop. They were sort of forced into it. So that got rid of, now we're up to the 1930s.
Hmm.
So if we go to the next slide, Richard.
Oh, what's going on here? There we go.
Okay, that was the Statute of Westminster, an act of Parliament of the United Kingdom that set the basis relationship for the Commonwealth realms and the Crown. And at one point, the Crown, and it technically should be with an E, but anyway, the Crown had all kinds of realms. And we have a separate presentation coming up on that. And it connects us back to this primary legislation. It'll become a full circle. But anyway, it was passed on the 11th of December, 1931. And what the statute did was it increased the sovereignty of the self-governing dominions of the British Empire, of which Canada was one of them. Okay? It also bound them to seek each other's approval for changes. So that's when they connected all these different colonies, for Canada at least, they all kind of sort of had to agree, and that's what created what was the federal government. Okay? Now, this ended up happening, and the statute removed nearly all of the British Parliament authority to legislate the dominions. So if they can't legislate, what is legislature? That's government. So what effect now do I, you know, I ask the viewer, what effect does the Crown now have on the legal system going back to 1931? Almost none. Okay? Because the dominions are all separate states. So Canada hasn't existed for a long time. Right? So if we go to the next slide, Richard. Okay, this is a picture of the lady that actually did it, okay? And the lieutenant governor from 2001 to 2007, she was wise. She didn't want to be connected to this mess, if we want to call it that, called the monarch. Because if you remember that the monarch is supposed to operate under, you know, do no harm to the people, do nothing prejudice to the people. And the act was sworn on the Bible. Right. So if they do something that's repugnant to the people or repugnant to the fundamental common law, if we want to call it that, or basic primary legislation, then they're committing treason against the Bible. And when the king swears his oath, he's actually doing it through the archbishop. So they're not going to mess with that because that's where they get their authority. So she admitted she did not sign into any laws, and neither does the Queen. Why? Because the laws are repugnant to common law and the Bible. Okay? Some people are going to say you're crazy, right? But if we go to the next slide, okay, this is what she had to say about her. As head of state, I have the same mandate as Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, the Queen of Canada, and that is to say, apart from the single reserve power to sustain democratic governance, right? Thus, Her Majesty is our head of state, while the Governor General in de facto head of state, and neither is in command of the provincial territorial jurisdiction. The head of state, however, is the CEO of the province and is required to sign all state documents in the name of the people, right? In the name of the people, not in the name of the crown, okay, to render them into law. But neither her nor the Queen signed them. She didn't want to be repugnant to the common law, right? Because if you recall, the UK legal system is supposed to be based on common law. So how can these statutes, which restrict and more or less trample on your common law rights, how can that be lawful or legal, right? And it would be against the common law as well as the Bible.
So are you saying that then you've got these statutes and these acts that are being used, but there is no authority for them because nobody signed them off?
That's right. If you remember back when we were talking about our primary legislation, I talked about the Great Seal Act.
Right.
And it said that all acts of Parliament must receive royal assent. Right? And I said when I was reading the first part of this that the B&A Act received royal assent. Now, if they sent this representative over, and at this point it was this lady, and she says the Queen has never signed any acts and she's not signing any acts, then what is the legality of all these acts and statutes within Canada? None. They don't exist.
And it says here, as you can see on the other paragraph, she says, I'm supposed to be signing these documents into law, but I am not, and therefore there is no law.
That's right. That's right. Now, if you go to the next slide, Richard, you'll see an actual extract from the speech, and you can read that for what it is. Right?
Which, and it ends at that little bit of dialogue that I just read out as head of state.
Yeah.
I'm not signing them.
Yeah.
And she was basically washing her hands of it, was she?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Because otherwise she would be implicated in it all, because it was fraudulent right from the start.
Right, and if you remember back when we talked on our primary legislation, and then we talked about maxims, was another presentation we did. Once fraud touches something, it dissolves it.
Right.
Doesn't exist. Fraud destroys all that it touches. There was a couple of different legal maxims that talked about the same sort of subject.
Yeah.
So if we go to the next slide, okay, why is the Queen not signing laws? Because they're repugnant to common law in the Bible, the same reason that representative wouldn't do it. The Queen's representative was not signing the meter. So tax laws are not tax laws. They only exist inside what? The only charter that's still alive and well is the Hudson's Bay Charter, right? Because the B&A Act, that's gone. She got rid of that, and I'll prove that in a minute. So when she's talking about, you know, laws for Canada, Canada doesn't exist, as we're going to show you in a minute. So she has to be referring to what is Canada, and what is Canada? Canada's the Hudson's Bay Charter. The minute you step into common law jurisdiction or higher jurisdiction, they don't apply, because that's statutory law. Statutory law never exceeds or supersedes common law. They don't apply. Right? So the full liability would land on the Queen and the Lieutenant Governor in commerce law jurisdiction. But neither one of them signed it, so they're both immune. So where's the Queen in this whole equation? She doesn't exist. Now, if we go to the next slide, Richard. Okay, so now we have no Constitution, we have no Canada. Right, we've established that fact. So what Pierre Elliott Trudeau tried to do is he tried to revive the B&A Act, which is the British North American Act, but he can't do it because the Queen repealed it and he doesn't have the authority of the Queen.
Right.
So what he did was he brought in the Constitution of 1982, and he added in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, right? So what he was trying to do, in essence, was trying to bring in the British North American Act and bring in sort of the Bill of Rights and combined it all into one and said, okay, here's our Canadian Constitution. And this was signed off. I don't have the photograph of it, but this was signed off by the Queen. So that makes, okay, now so now Canada would have a constitution in theory. Mm. However, the constitution, because it's supposed to be for the people, has to be accepted by all of the people of Canada.
Right.
So that wasn't accepted by all the people of Canada, as I'm about to show you. Okay, so if we go to the next slide, Richard. Okay, the particular interest in the Queen's proclamation when she set this thing up, well, when Trudeau set it up and wanted her agreement, okay, then it says, by and with the advice of Privy Council for Canada, do by our proclamation declare that the Constitution Act 1982 shall be subject to Sections 59. Now, that's important. You got to remember that part. Section 59. Therefore, come into force on the 17th day of April in the year of our Lord, 1982. The operative words here is subject to Section 59 of the Constitution Act. Now, Section 59 defers to Section 23 of the Constitution Act. And what is Section 23? It's the language issue. Now, for the viewers that don't know, Canada technically has what they call two official languages.
Right.
And there's a lot, there might be some debate on that, well, whatever. But anyway.
One being French and one being English?
That's correct, yeah.
Right.
But Quebec doesn't work that way. Because Quebec doesn't want English language in their province. And in fact, at one point in time, they even had language police. And if you had posted a sign outside your business that had any English language on it, you actually received a fine.
Right. Blimey.
Yeah. And actually, when I checked into it, Quebec actually has its own system, right? Its own consulate in various countries and everything else. So Quebec is technically not part of Canada, and they've often said, we want to separate.
Right.
And most of Canada was probably under the idea of, well, go. Because what ended up happening within the Canadian government, especially within the military, I can specify that, they have documents. We call them ATAT books, Air Advancement Training books. And it's their training manuals for the military. And they had to be converted to both official languages, French and English. So Queen's Printers, who does the printing for the military and for the government, would get the English version of the book, and then they would have to translate it into French. And by the time they translated it and put out the French version of it, it was obsolete because things had changed. So then these books are a waste of time, and we don't need them, and they throw them out, and they start over again.
Oh, blimey.
It's crazy. And the problem was that the Canadian government, or at least the Quebec government, did not want to sign off on this language issue because the children may be educated in any language their parents desire, and the Quebec government didn't want that.
Right.
So this was never going to fly, right? They will not sign off on the language issue, and the Queen knew it. So Section 59 and 23 are the conditions which the Constitution Act of 1982 will come into force and effect. So since they've never signed it off, guess what? We don't have a constitution.
And so the Queen knew that they wouldn't sign that and use that really as a bit of a false flag, because she knew effectively this is a good excuse not to get the constitution to go. Is that right?
That's right. But I don't see what it proved, because if she dissolved the B&A Act, then Canada technically has its own separate, independent, if we want to call them provincial governments. And that's all it is. So they're separate colonies.
Right.
That's all they are. There is no federal government within Canada based on these documents. So if we go to the next slide, Richard, this is supposed to be the our constitution, right? That's what it amounts to. There's not a whole lot to it. And it's the bill, and it's part of it. The bill is connected in with the Bill of Rights. So, okay, whatever. And this is in 1982. So let's go to the next slide. Now, so like I was saying earlier, the Queen's words were magic, because they, until Section 59 and Section 23 have been satisfied, the whole thing doesn't exist. Okay? So that's the end of it. So now, if you want to look back now in history, who owns Canada, technically? B&A Act doesn't exist. So the only thing that still exists is this Hudson's Bay Charter. So when the government talks about, you know, Canada, she's really talking about the charter from the Hudson's Bay Company. So it doesn't make us liable, right? And so what she did with that Royal Charter, who knows? But the Hudson's Bay Charter Corporation, because it was never canceled, still owns all the resources and the licensing fees and fines and taxes extorted from the men and women of Canada, yet it's done under false pretense, which is fraud, through the court system known as the Crown.
So just can you just clarify for me, as I'm trying to follow this, the Hudson Bay Charter is its own corporation, effectively?
That's right.
And it, and that is owned not by the Queen, or it is owned by the Queen?
Well, it's owned by the Queen or somebody she sold it to.
Right.
But when they find you, are you part of the Hudson's Bay Company? No, you're not an employee.
Right.
So technically, this whole legal system is all a big
scam.
It's gone. Scam, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So let's go to the next slide, Richard. Okay, now, if you don't see what I've told you, and that was supposed to be bigger, but that's okay. It says, subject to 59, this act shall come into force on the day to be fixed by a proclamation issued by the Queen or the Governor General in Canada and the Great Seal of Canada. So it's telling you this is a piece of the Constitution. It's not in effect yet, right? Subject to Section 59. Well, 59 didn't happen. So right. it's the roadblock. So if we go to the next slide. This is actually a Hudson's Bay IOU. So this is what it used to look like. This was their script, right? Just as a matter of interest. Right? And if we look at the way it's written, it's all old, the old fancy writing that they had to do, right? So if we go to the next slide. Now, if we say here under another section, 23, this is section 23, and it refers back to this. Paragraph 23.1a shall come into force in respect to Quebec on a day to be fixed by proclamation issued by the Queen or the Governor General under the Great Seal of Canada. This goes back to the Great Seal Act, see? It all connects back. But this thing has never been done. It says shall come into force. Doesn't say it is in force.
Oh, right, yeah. So that just shows you how important these words are, shall come into force.
Right. And it says a proclamation under Section 1, which is the thing above, shall be issued only where authorized by legislative assembly or the government of Quebec. So the government of Quebec is holding Canada hostage.
Then even, it says, yeah, even today.
That's right. And then it says repeal of this section. Okay, number three. This section may be repealed on a day in paragraph 23.1a above comes into force in respect to Quebec and this act amended and renumbered, basically, and upon repeal of this section. So they have to literally rewrite this thing. Everybody has to agree on it. Then they have to cancel this one. And then it has to get the Great Seal of Canada.
Wow.
So Canada does not exist. This is the documents to prove it. You had one of your viewers come on and says he likes the way that I go through and I analyze the you know, the daylights out of the document, how I analyze it and scrutinize it and everything else. And he said one of the things he said, and he's repeating what I said, go back to the fundamental creation and find out where the flaws are. Right? So this means now everybody has, all you got to do, walk into a courtroom with the Constitution, download it before they change it, or hide it or bury it or make it so you can't get it.
Yeah.
And then say, well, how could you have the legal force to do this? Now, if you look at the Constitution, and I might be slightly off on the numbers here, but there's section 91, 92, and 93. And they'll tell you what the federal government is allowed to do, and they'll tell you what the provincial government is allowed to do under the Constitution. However, the Constitution is not in force yet, so they have no authority to do anything.
Oh, my goodness.
Anything. So that means, so what happens is the federal government, I think it's under 91, I'd have to look it up, and then they give the certain delegated powers to the provinces. Okay, under section 92 and 93, if I remember the numbers, they may be slightly reversed. But anyway, well, if the federal government doesn't exist, then it doesn't have the authority to tell the provinces what to do. because, again, we have no constitution. So every province in Canada is technically a separate colony. We have no federal government. We have no constitution. If we go to the next slide, Richard. Okay, the Constitution Act, here's another section. Okay, this is the top part we don't need. Section 59 of this act shall come into force on a day to be fixed by a proclamation issued by the Queen or the Governor General of Canada and the Great Seal of Canada. Now, I was informed, because I was doing some paperwork for some people in Canada, I was informed that the Lieutenant Governor of Canada stepped down last Friday.
Last Friday?
Yeah, and we, anyway, I filed some paperwork, and I don't know if that was the total cause of it, but anyway, there's a bunch of things going on in Canada which are not technically right. I helped a guy file some paperwork, and it went there, and the next thing you know, the Lieutenant Governor resigned. Was it the reason for? I don't know. But it's to bring this, what it was dealing with was this constitution.
Right.
Okay. So, coincidence? Who knows? So, if we go to the next slide, Richard. Now, people are going to think I'm crazy. So, I told you to go back to the Law Revision Act.
Mm.
Right? Or the Statute Revision Act. So, if we look here, it's big enough to read. British North American Act, the whole act was repealed. The number 20 was repealed. And then if we look at 21, it says Section 3 was repealed in the Newfoundland Act. So it shows you that this thing tells you when things are changed. But the British North American Act, all the way through this thing, has been repealed. There's nothing else to say, right? And here, if you talk about this, see, it says Constitution Act 1960, right? And we don't have a constitution in 1960 because the Constitution was actually the British North American Act. And it was done by the Queen. So all these amendments from 1952 and 1951, none of them really have any force and effect, because if you go back to our primary legislation, he who creates can change. But if you don't create it, you can't change it. So our government has no authority to amend the British North American Act because it was an act from the Crown, from the Queen. Right? So that all these enacts and changes and modifications, they're all fraud. You know, you got to go back to the primary basis of your case. That's why we did that with England. That's why we're doing it with Canada. Yep. So if you bring up the next slide, Richard. That's the end of this presentation. And if I need to be reached or you need to reach me, you can reach me at denietruth@yahoo.com. And there's also a link here for the Telegram group. Richard also has in his possession a link to my YouTube channel, because I have some larger videos which don't fit in the one-hour time restraint, 1 hour give or take, that deal with council tax. And it's all the legal laws and everything. Unless Richard wants to do it in a two-part series, we can do that as well.
I'll put the link in the description so people can access that very easily.
Yep, and Richard, well. Richard and I have talked, and we are going to be hosting a presentation on the 17th. It's a live Q&A show. And the reason it's on the next slide... The reason I bring that up is I have had over 1,400 emails, and I try to get through them as fast as I can. And some of your questions are not simple 2 or 3 minute questions I can answer. Some of them are going to involve digging into a whole lot of different legislation and everything else. But the ones I can answer quickly, I do. And the ones I can answer on the Telegram group, I do. So Richard's graciously offered to do a live presentation. And, you know, throw what you can at me. I'll see what I can do to help you.
So we're going to run that this Friday, as it says on there. Sunday at 7:30. And the YouTube channel will just go live. And there is a chat facility. So it might be a bit hit and miss because we don't know how many people will come along. And I will attempt to pull out your questions. So... I'll work out how to do that. I might get you to type question in capital and then put your question in so that I can see it, or you can highlight it in a certain way. It's been a while since I've done the live shows, but there will be a way in which I can then copy and paste that and then ask Stan your question. And we'll do our best to get through as many of those as possible. I appreciate other people will just be doing the usual chat that they do. Hello, how are you? How's your garden? That kind of thing. But we'll try and restrict the chat as much as we can to the questions so that we can really pick Stan's brains and see how successful that is, because then we could do that again as another feature in a month's time or something like that, because a lot of people are very clearly interested in the legal system. We are under a lot of crap, as to use Stan's language, and if we can get the information out there as much as we can, we would be very pleased to do that.
Yeah, Richard, you said Sunday. It's actually Saturday.
I'll say Friday, Monday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Then anything than the actual date. It's Saturday, 7:30. I will put this on the social or whatever it's called on the YouTube channel, so people can just double check that, and I'll try and announce it in the earlier that day as well, so people can see it.
Yep.
Brilliant. So there we are. So Canada doesn't exist, which is great news. So everybody could move to Canada. There's quite a bit of space there, I imagine. And we all live quite peacefully then.
Well, I think Canada is probably one of the only places in the world that you if you asserted your rights here, you're going to have some fun.
Mm.
Right? Because they're not going to want to admit the whole Canadian legal system and court system.
Can you imagine it if tens of thousands of people got the papers together and they all just en masse went to court and said, look, this is the proof. How are you going to get out of it? And case after, I mean, presumably they just wouldn't accept the cases. They would just say, no, for whatever reason, you know, the judge would have a heart attack, or he'd have burnt his leg or stubbed his toe, or a butterfly landed on his nose and he couldn't make it in that day. You know, there'd be excuse after excuse, presumably, why they wouldn't be able to get that in court. Because if they did, it would have to admit liability.
Well, a lot of times what they'll do when they see something like this, they don't want it on the books. And this is what they do with anybody that comes along with the truth, is they will withdraw the charges. And right. So I want to make sure people understand that when you file a case in court, let's say you're being sued, they file a case against you. Normal people file a statement of defense. Well, if the prosecutor that's coming after you withdraws the claim, your evidence, your proof, it all just disappeared. So what you do is you file a statement of defense like you did before, but it's a statement of defense and counterclaim. And then you become the plaintiff by reason of the counterclaim, and you can still bring this in.
Right.
Right? It's a way out. And if they tell you, well, we dismissed the case, well, yeah, well, that's fine. You may have dismissed the case against me, but now I'm the plaintiff by counterclaim, and I still want my day in court.
Oops. And that's when they sweat buckets.
Yeah.
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 Fantastic.
You guys have the same system here in the UK. You guys can file a statement of defense and counterclaim. It's the same. Different forms.
Unfortunately, we can't say that England doesn't exist.
Well, we'll work on it.
You never know. There may well be documentation, which would be great. I mean, if the legal system suddenly had no foundation on it, that would be rather marvelous for a lot of people who are in a lot of trouble.
Well, here's something for your viewers to look into. We have, as I showed you here, the British North American Act, and everything went down the hill from there. But what's the foundational documents for here?
Mm. Right.
1215. What happened in 1215, Richard?
Well, that was the Magna Carta signing.
Right, and that is your constitution. And it predates all of this other legal mumbo-jumbo under statute. So you can refer back to that and say this predated it, and it was part of England at the time, and it hasn't been dissolved. It can't be dissolved. So there's your constitution. There's your rights. Right? And then if you want to hop into it, well, then you can get into 1688 and the Bill of Rights and the stuff we presented in our primary legislation. So you're protected double. Canada is just a free-for-all, and there is no legal system, as we just proved. Right?
That is quite amazing.
Yep.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Stan. So there we go. Stan has proved that Canada doesn't exist legally, technically, and we will do our live on Saturday at 7:30. So join us then. The show will just go live, and we'll test Stan's amazing brain.
We'll try.
Anyway, Stan, thank you so much for that. That's been absolutely brilliant. And we'll get Stan back for some many more of these presentations, because people are enjoying them. Every time I go out now, I did a talk last night and people were saying to me, oh, that's Stan, he's brilliant, he's on the ball. So I shall be working him hard. So anyway, thank you, Stan. Thank you for watching, ladies and gentlemen, and we will be back with more of the same in due course. Until then, from Stan and I, goodbye.